speaking of that, let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians for our scripture reading here today. We're actually going to read the same four verses we read last week from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. I have those words up here from the New American Standard Bible. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting at verse number 4, these words should sound familiar because we read them last week. Verse number 4, 1 Corinthians, the words of the Apostle Paul as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And we'll stop right there. Father, Father, as we pray here this morning, we're going to start talking about this thing called spiritual gifts. Father, may we all learn something about the gifts that we have been given and maybe identify what those gifts are within ourselves. And so I just trust, Lord, that the words that I say here this morning, Father, will help all of us, but your scripture is what transforms us. We give you the glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue in this series, this is week number 3, on understanding spiritual gifts. And Paul uses the words, there's a variety of gifts, there's a variety of ministries, there's a variety of effects in today's text. And they're all going to be interrelated with spiritual gifts. So today I've titled today's message, A Variety of Gifts, the words that he uses in verse number 4. And we're going to start talking about the gifts today and over the next several weeks. Let's do a very, very quick review. Number one, only believers receive spiritual gifts. Number two, the Holy Spirit gives the spiritual gifts. Number three, the Holy Spirit wills or distributes what gifts we receive. And number four, no one person has all the gifts. Now, that point number four there, how do we know that? Well, we know that by 1 Corinthians 12, 29 and 30, the Apostle Paul, in those two verses, he asked a series of rhetorical questions, questions with obvious answers, and the answers are going to be no to all of these questions. He asked this, all are not apostles, are they? No. All are not prophets, are they? No. All are not teachers, are they? No. All are not workers of miracles, are they? No. All do not have the gifts of healings, do they? No. All do not speak with tongues, do they? No. All do not interpret, do they? No. So we know this from these verses right here. Paul's already establishing the fact that no one person has all the gifts. So what, and I'm going to put this one back up here too, because I'm going to repeat this one every Sunday that we're in this series. Spiritual gifts, they are not earned, they are not learned, they cannot be bought, and they cannot be taught. Why? Because they are gifts distributed by the Holy Spirit as He determines. And this is going to be very critical when we start getting into the gifts as we move forward. So what is the purpose? Again, a review. What is the purpose for believers having spiritual gifts? We talked about these verses last week. We are given different gifts to build up the body of Christ so that there will be no divisions in the body and that every part should have the same care for each other. And then another verse, our spiritual gifts are used to serve one another. Remember, we said last week that the church is not an organization. It is an organism. And an organism needs to be fed. An organism needs to be built up. An organism needs to be edified. an organism needs to grow, and the church is that organism. And if these things do not happen, the organism dies. And probably many of us have seen churches die in our lifetimes, and a lot of reasons for that is because the people within those churches are not using their spiritual gifts for the benefit of others and for the benefit of the body of believers. And the ultimate goal of using our gifts, we have three different verses, and these are all very interrelated, to the building up of the body of Christ, Ephesians, for the common good, 1 Corinthians 12:7, and for the edification of the church, 1 Corinthians 14:12. Notice in all these cases, and we discussed this last week, that our gifts are for each other. Your gifts are for all of us. My gift is for all of us. It's for each other, the body of believers. And we must remember that the Bible always teaches a God-centered theology, and it's not a man-centered theology. So just like the Bible, our gifts are not about, my gifts are not about me. It's not about self. Our gifts are about the body of believers and what we can do for the glory of God, which leads us to this one, our last point from last week. Why do we have these gifts, and why do people use their gifts? Well, for God's glory, for his praise, and for his glory. Certainly not for my glory or your glory. It's for the glory of God. After all, it was his Holy Spirit that gave us the gifts that we have. Okay, so now we know who receives the spiritual gifts and what their purpose are. What are the gifts? Well, I have a kind of a comprehensive list up here. I went through the different places where we find the gifts being listed, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, and verse number 28, Romans 12, 6 through 8. And I've come up with this list: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, foretelling, and prophecy, forthtelling. And when I'll get into that here in a couple weeks, there is a difference between those two. Distinguishing of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, apostles, mercy, teaching, helps, serving, administration, exhortation, and giving. Now, if different Bible translations may use different terms to describe the gifts that we have, but these are the terms that the New American Standard uses. And I'm going to say this, all of these gifts are what we would call supernatural gifts. It's not that they're, it's not that kind of supernatural. It's supernatural in the fact that they come from the Holy Spirit. We did not learn them. We did not earn them. They were not bought, and they were not taught. They were gifts. So today and over the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about each one of these gifts. And I'm going to define what that gift is and its purpose within the church and for each other. And I'm going to start here today with the gifts that are more common. It's going to be like a funnel. At the top of the funnel, there's a big opening. More people are going to have these gifts. And as I go down through this list, you will notice that the gifts are going to be more specific as we get to the bottom of that funnel. Then we'll work our way up to the gifts. These gifts here are what I would call more common, and they deal with corporal issues. Corporal in the fact that it affects ourselves. It affects people. It affects the church. And then we're going to work our way up to the gifts that are more theological, and that funnel gets a little bit smaller, and they are more concerned about doctrine and things like that. And then we'll conclude this study talking about the miraculous gifts, which are listed up there. So we're going to cover four of these gifts here today, and these are in no particular order. These are just as how I found them in the Bible, in the scriptures. And we have four of them listed, and you already know what they are because they're listed in your bulletin, the four that we're going to go over, and you may make any notes that you want about the different gifts. So let's put a check mark beside one of these, and let's start with the gift of helps. Let's talk about helps. This is kind of at the top of the funnel. Yes, it is very similar to the gift of serving, but for the sake of this study, I'm going to distinguish those two by saying that helps is going to be something where we help individuals. And serving, which I'll talk about here in a second, will be something that we do to help the church. Individual versus church-wide. Those with the gift of helps are those who can render assistance to other individuals in the church with compassion and grace. Now, a lot of these definitions that I find here, I got from one of my favorite websites, gotquestions.org, so I want to give them credit for a lot of what I'm going to read here this morning. This gift of helps, is a unique ability to identify those who are struggling with such things as doubt, maybe with fear, and other spiritual battles, or who need assistance in some other way. A person who has the gift of helps has a genuine concern more for the other person than they do for themselves. And this gift of helps can also be used in a secular sense. Let me give you an example. This will be a very short story time with Pastor Mike. Back in 1999, my wife Gail had open heart surgery in March of that year, a double bypass. And when she came out of the hospital and when she come home, she was extremely limited as to what she could do, how much she could lift and things like that. Well, a friend of mine, Jim Driscoll, who was the man who led me to the Lord, his wife, Carolyn, she called up and she says, I want to come on over and help you out. She come on over several days a week. She would come on over, cook some meals. She would do a little bit of cleaning in the house. She would do the laundry. And she would help us out because I was working during that time. And it was a little too much for me to handle. So Carolyn exercised her gift of helps, and we were so appreciative that she would come on over and do something like that for us. It was a very good example of someone that has the gift of helps. So how does this gift of helps edify the body? Well, I'll answer that question kind of with another question here. How does it make you feel when you know that a brother or sister in Christ cares enough about you in whatever difficult situation you may be in? It brings you, when they come and they care for you, when they help you in that situation, it brings you and that person closer together as a family in Christ. And when one has this gift, it certainly helps those who don't, and it edifies those who do not have this gift or who need that help at that time. So I ask, do you feel that you can give of yourself in unselfish love to help a brother or sister in Christ who needs you as they are going through difficult situations? And I believe that was something that we prayed for this morning. People go through difficult situations. Jesus outlines it this way in Matthew chapter 25. Are you the one who can give food to the hungry? Who can give drink to the thirsty? Who invites a stranger in? Who clothes the naked? Who visits the sick? Who visits those in prison? Or just helps a brother or sister in Christ who needs a helping hand like Gail and I did many, many years ago. If you feel like I can do that, well, perhaps you have this gift of helps. Let's go to the next one. That's helps. Let's go to the next one. Again, outlined in your bulletin. Let's put a check mark next to serving, and we'll go through this one. The word serving is the Greek word diakonion. Diakonion, does that sound familiar? It's actually translated into the English word deacon. Diakonion, deacon. And this gift means service of any kind. It's very similar to the gift of helps, but like I said earlier, helps is more of an individual thing. A person helps another person. This gift of serving is more church-wide. We help the church. Let me give you some examples of the gift of serving. The gift of serving is as simple as those who are willing to lend a hand and do what even the most mundane and sometimes disagreeable task around the church with a spirit of humility and grace. Some examples of those who have this gift, they volunteer to care for the church building and the church grounds. They set up the fellowship hall before or after a luncheon, and they clean up afterwards. This is the gift of serving. They use their talents to play the piano. Thank you, Miss Cindy, for your gift of serving. So that's pretty obvious. And they sing in the choir. They drive buses to pick up children and bring them to church. They set up chairs for church activities. They run and they maintain the audio and video equipment in the church. Thank you, Kay, for doing that this morning, and for Robin, who isn't here. They lead the choirs and they lead drama groups. They do this for the building up of the church. It's a church thing. I help the church. So how does this gift of serving edify the body? Well, it's very simple. When something around the church needs to be done, these are the people who do it. And like I said earlier, they do it with a spirit of humility and grace. There are many people sitting in here today who have the gift of serving. And I say, thank you. Every last one of our fellowship meals would never happen if there were not those who had the gift of service. And when one has this gift, it edifies the church and helps edify those who do not. So I ask, do you feel comfortable serving because you want to or because you have to? Well, if you want to and you do it with a spirit of humility and grace, perhaps you have the gift of serving. Let's go to the next one. So we've covered helps and serving. You can see where there could be a lot of people have these. And again, as we go down this funnel, the number of people that have these gifts is probably going to decline somewhat. Let's go to the next one. Let's put a check mark beside giving. Giving. Some Bibles say it's the gift of generosity. And this comes from the Greek word didymi, which means to impart or to give. And I'll say this right now, and I should have said it sooner. You'll see where a lot of these gifts do overlap each other in some way. When it's used in Romans 12, verse number 8, this word is accompanied by another descriptive word, the Greek word haplotes. And I'm not a Greek scholar here, so I struggle with these words. Haplotes. And this word, when it comes to describing how the giver gives, it means the giver gives sincerely and without pretense and without hypocrisy. Gifted givers are those who share what they have with others, whether it be their time, their talents, or their treasure. But more specifically, when we talk about the gift of giving, we are talking about our treasure, our finances, our money, when we put money in the collection basket, although it can mean our time and our talent also. The giver is concerned for the needs of others and seeks opportunity to share with them as their needs arise or as the needs arise within the church. Those with this gift of giving love to share with others the overflow of the blessings that God has given them. And let's face it, God has blessed a lot of Christian people financially, and that's a good thing. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, and I think this describes that giver to a T. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart. And Paul's talking about giving financial contributions. How? Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. And folks, that is why I will never preach tithing in this church for two reasons. One, it's not a New Testament principle, for one. And two, give cheerfully. Give cheerfully. Whatever you want to give, God loves a cheerful giver. So how does the gift of giving edify the body? How does it edify us? Well, those people with this gift meet the needs of the church and the needs of the people in the church by generously giving their, here we go again, time and talent, yes, but mostly their treasure, their finances. And when one has this gift, it edifies those who do not have the gift, and it edifies the body of believers. So I'll ask this question. Do you feel comfortable, and is it easy for you to give of your time and talent, and especially your treasure, to the church and to other believers? And if it comes easy for you to throw that money in the collection basket, perhaps you do, in fact, have the gift of giving. So we've covered three, and we're going to cover one last one here today. We've covered helps and serving and giving. Let's cover this fourth gift, and then we'll end with this. The gift of exhortation. Some Bibles call it the gift of encouragement. This gift is evident in those who consistently call upon others to heed and to follow God's truth, which may involve correction, or it may involve building others up by strengthening their weak faith or comforting them in trials. The gift of exhortation focuses on the practical application of the Bible. A person with this gift can relate to others with understanding, with sympathy, and positive biblical guidance. And it could be something as simple as when a person is in need or needs uplifting, we send them a card, or we give them a phone call, or we send them a text, the gift of encouragement. The teacher would say, and teaching is a gift, the teacher would say this, "This is the way you should go," where the encourager would say, "I will help you go in that direction." A person with the gift of exhortation can help another person move from pessimism to optimism, from looking at the glasses half empty to the glasses half full, or from fear to faith, where they would say, "I don't know if I could do that," to where they come down with Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So how does the gift of exhortation edify the body? This gift is useful in counseling, in discipleship, and in mentoring. The body of Christ is built up in faith and their trust in the promises of God. And when one has this gift here, it edifies the body of believers and it edifies those who may not have that gift. So I ask, do you feel that you can encourage others in the promises of God, to show concern and care when others need a spiritual uplifting or an uplifting of some sort because they are going through difficult times? You can see where, again, exhortation is very similar to the gift of helps. Well, perhaps if you feel like, "I can do that, I'd like to do that, I want to do that," perhaps you have the gift of exhortation or the gift of encouragement. So that's the four gifts that we'll cover today. We're kind of at the top of the funnel. Next week, we're going to start getting closer to the bottom of this funnel. And I hope today, as we covered these four, it gives all of us in here an opportunity to do maybe a self-checkout. You know, maybe I do have one of these gifts. Maybe I like to help other people, or I like to serve in the church, or I like to encourage other people, or, you know, the Lord has blessed me financially. I don't mind giving that money to the church and to help out when I can. I hope this helps identify. Now, you might be sitting there and say, "I got this, I got this." Or you might be sitting here right now and saying, "Not yet, sorry, I don't have any of these," and that's okay. I promise you, there will be a gift up here that everybody in here will have of some sort, because we have all been blessed by the Holy Spirit with a spiritual gift of some sort, as the Holy Spirit has determined. So those are four of the more common gifts. They're rather simplistic, yet they're very practical, and they are extremely necessary gifts for every church to have. And next week, we'll look at a few more. So let's go to God in a time of prayer.